Welcome to another podcast episode brought to you by P2PEmpire.com. I'm your host, Jakub Krejci, and I'll be teaching you how to create passive income by investing in P2P loans. I started investing in P2P loans back in 2017, and in 2020, I launched P2P Empire to bring more transparency into the P2P lending space to enable you to make a more educated investment decision. On this podcast, I'll be interviewing experts from the peer-to-peer lending industry so you can learn more about individual investments on various platforms in different countries. This podcast is sponsored by smart investors who enjoy our independent research and are interested in making informed investment decisions. If you're one of them, you can support our project on buymeacoffee.com/P2PEmpire. To learn more about how to make money from P2P lending, please visit our website P2PEmpire.com and watch our guides on our YouTube channel. Welcome back to another P2P Talk. My guest today is Raymond Su, who is the CEO and co-founder of Capital, which is a crypto wealth management application where you can earn up to 12% interest on your crypto deposits. In today's interview, we'll be diving deeper into the business model of this platform so you can be rest assured that the yields that you are earning on Capital is sustainable. So welcome to the interview, Raymond.
Hello, nice to meet you guys all. And thanks for inviting me for this interview.
So let's start with an introduction of yourself. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background?
Sure. Yeah, I've been working in the traditional banking industry for decades and then, you know, move on to internet and fintech company for quite a while. I was leading the product functions for Airwallex, also a well-known unicorn company, a startup. And then, you know, I got the chance to have this very nice angel investor who has to share the same vision and want to, you know, build Capital together. So here I am. So most of my experience in product and traditional banking, so I understand the compliance quite well, and also, you know, the very fundamental how the financial services industry works.
Yeah. So nowadays there's so many crypto lending and crypto wealth management application on the market. So how did you come up with Capital? What is the purpose of this app?
Yeah. Also, I think there's quite many platforms out there, right? So you can start seeing quite a few of them, you know, giving quite good yields around the world. But because I'm in the industry and also in the fintech quite for a long time, so the friends and relatives of mine always come to me to ask for some advice or questions to help them to, you know, deal with this kind of new services. So along the way, I'm actually quite surprised that a lot of people like, you know, like them who are doing investment already, but still feel like they are not so sure about crypto as an option for their investment. And also, even they do want to give it a try, it's not that straightforward and easy. So I do see there's a very big barrier for the majority, mass majority, to step into the industry and really participate in the crypto upside. So that's the moment I realized, you know, combining with my, you know, financial service industry experience and also the fintech experience, you know, and the crypto experience I got from the other team member and our angel investor, I think we should be able to come up with a very nice product to accommodate this mass majority adoption. Yeah. So that's the main reason why we decided to set up Capital.
Can you share a little bit more about how Capital works? Let's say I want to deposit some crypto. How do I start? How does it work?
Yeah, so I think one of the most important things is that we only offer our users products after you pass our KYC, unfortunately, but I think that's what we believe. So, you know, I think KYC is a very important step whenever you are offering the financial services. So, you know, I think it should be very straightforward and easy since our, you know, onboarding technology and process and policy is well-crafted. Once you pass, you are able to have, you know, BTC, TH, and USDT wallets at first. And now we also offer you our wallet for you to top up your euro from local payment, SEPA, you know, to fund yourself. So I think that will be a very important step for you to, you know, easily move the money from your bank account to Capital and also very low cost. And then you can use a euro to buy either of three, BTC, ETH, or USDT. Once you have those crypto coins, you can easily decide whether you want to go for flexible saving or you want to place a fixed term saving, depends on the tenor you like and so the interest rate you want to have. And, you know, whenever it's mature, it's to your disposal. You can sell it and you can, you know, keep rolling it. You can, you know, sell it back to euro and withdraw, you know, also via SEPA back to a bank account. So we want to offer something very intuitive and also very user friendly. And, you know, whenever they need the money, they can also get it back, which is very straightforward and easy. So that's what the Capital Earn is about right now. And I think that's a very user friendly product for the European users. And we are also working on GBP via capability right now. So hopefully in the near future, you know, whoever holds the sterling can also easily top up their wallet.
Yeah. I've been in the
crypto lending space for a while now, and I think that one of the biggest struggles for people who come from the fiat world is actually to deposit some crypto or some funds on the application, right?
Yes.
Most of the competitors out there, they provide three options. One is transferring crypto directly. The second is via bank transfer, and the third via a debit card.
Yeah.
Usually with any kind of fiat transaction, there are always some kind of fees and limits that people need to follow. So are there any deposit fees and limits when it comes to transferring euros to capital?
No. I think when you transfer your euro from your bank account to capital, right? Your bank has to charge you because SEPA, there's a cost there, right? So I think that's very minimum 1 euro or 1 point something or 2, depends on, you know, your bank's charge. And I think that's all. Once, you know, the full amount sent out, the full amount will arrive your bank account, your account with wallet, with capital wallet. And you will see that amount. When you withdraw, we also need to debit a little bit. Also the same SEPA fee we need to pay to the bank channel. Besides that, I don't think there's any other fee that you need to pay when you deposit with capital, you know, exchange, and also subscriber fixed term saving. So I think, you know, comparing to the very widely used like credit card or debit card, you know, it's cheaper, it's faster, and you know, I won't say faster, but in terms of, you know, the, if you consider a rejection ratio, that's much more user friendly. And most importantly, right, for the car payment, normally they will embed quite some spread to cover their risk, right? So they want to have more revenue cover risk. But in our case, what you see is what you get. So we want to make sure it's transparent. Yeah.
Do I also have the option to transfer crypto directly?
Yes, yes, obviously, yes. We now only offer ERC20, but I think we're also, you know, having a pipeline for a product to offer the other chain. Yeah, but I think right now, definitely you can do crypto transfer in and crypto transfer out.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just that, you know, all the transfer in and now and fiat in and now, we also have our anti-money laundering, you know, screening. So ideally, there's no hit, but if there's hit, we will definitely need to discount it. I might reach out to you guys, but don't be worried if everything's fine. Yeah, we'll just need to check what we need to check.
That's quite a unique benefit for people who want to start with rather low amounts, if there is no minimums, if there are very little fees. I think that's quite an advantage in comparison to other platforms that are out there, because usually if you want to have something cheap, you need to buy crypto somewhere on exchange, convert it or convert it into the coin that you want to be earning yield on, and then transfer it, right? So there is like more steps included. And here with capital, it seems to be very straightforward and very easy. All right, let's talk about the yields, obviously.
Yeah.
People want to get the highest yield. So what can we expect when depositing crypto on capital?
Yeah, I think we are, you know, firstly, we can explain a little bit where that yield comes from. I think our approach might be different from the others, but I think, you know, from day one, we want to position ourselves as a sensible return, right? So when we say sensible, I think we want to make sure it's stable, the risk is manageable, it's liquid, meaning whenever you need the money, you'll get it. And that return should be, you know, high enough to attract you to move your fund over, but not too high that we have to take the risk to generate that yield. So our approach is that we pre-select, you know, the DeFi project on our side. Our investment team will do a research to decide what's the right DeFi project we want to list on our, you know, investment options. And we got several criteria, size of the protocol, of course, and also whether there is any third-party auditing for the smart contract. Most importantly, right, we don't do any spot trade, we don't do derivative. So, you know, we want to make sure it's a very straightforward yield generation, you know, mechanism, for example, over collateral lending, which is very easy to understand. You've got collaterals, protect your principal interest rate, and also, you know, like liquidity making, which is fee-based, the risk is also very limited. So we only target those. And of course, there are so many of them out there. So our investment team has to go through quite some detail to decide which one we want to give it a try. And also we have an internal risk committee to approve each of them before we can start doing the test round. You know, the investment team has to explain to the committee from different angle, compliance, legal, finance, product, and operation, of course, to make sure, right, that's doable and feasible. And then, you know, after it's on our list, we will use our own working capital to test it out in a smaller scale to make sure whatever we expect is actually happening in a reality before we scale it up. Yeah, so I think that's a very unique approach of ours. And besides, right, our yield is very straightforward. What you see when you subscribe, that's the rate you get. There's no precondition that you have to buy any like platform token with us, stake token with us, because we believe, right, people want the yield product more. They are looking for something sustainable and stable. Platform token normally quite volatile. So we don't want to, you know, combine two very extreme, you know, risk appetite wise, very extreme product products together. So I think it's actually, as you say, it's very easy for new joiner who want to test crypto, sit back, make sure, you know, the entry barrier is very low, the cost is very low. And our approach is very flexible. Whenever you want the money, you can move it out. And the way we generate the yields is so, you know, very sensible without, you know, promising, meaning you have to buy a token and risk yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that explains why we're targeting some investors that are already doing their daily investment and want to give crypto a try. I think, you know, we definitely want to be that option.
Are you new to P2P lending and confused by the terminology in this podcast? Get our P2P lending glossary on buymeacoffee.com/P2P Empire to fast track your knowledge in P2P lending.
You mentioned a lot of important points now, especially in the relation to the risks that is connected when people start depositing various crypto lending platforms. Obviously, there is risk involved with everything, and you're right that a lot of the other platforms, they mix kind of a rather safe with very risky crypto lending practices, right? You have platforms where you can earn yield on your deposits, and then you can maybe leverage your crypto assets and probably lose a big part of it. Other platforms, they will try to sell you their tokens, which can be only used within the infrastructure or within the system of the platform. Otherwise, it's kind of useless, or you kind of speculate on the growth of the token. Other than that, there is not really so much benefits to it, right? So I like your approach of going into a very simple, straightforward product where you don't make a difference whether someone is depositing a higher or a lower amount of crypto, or whether someone is based in a different jurisdictions. It's something that we keep seeing on my major crypto lending platforms, that the reward scheme gets so complicated after a while that, you know, as a depositor, kind of like you have no idea what you're going to get, right? And also the platforms are typically not very transparent when it comes to the business model, which I really appreciate about Capital and yourself, that you're being so straightforward, like saying that we earn yield by deploying the assets on DeFi protocols. Maybe you can dive a bit deeper into this. You mentioned that you test the various DeFi projects yourself before depositing mm-hmm. the crypto of the depositors. How many DeFi projects do you have in your portfolio right now?
Yeah, I think we have around like 10 and on the list. And then we keep, you know, adding more along the way when we see new ones. And yeah, so we got 10. So what we're doing on a daily basis is that, you know, we are optimizing, right? So as long as the moving, the minimum, there's a gas fee when you move around the funds, right? As long as that cost makes sense, you know, we should keep moving the fund to the highest yield pool to optimize the return on our portfolio, so we can pass, you know, majority of them to our users. So that's how it works. And another thing, I think, you know, along this, as you can see, right, since we are moving the funds very often, we also have a maker checker role there. So, you know, the investment team will make decision where to put how much fund. The funds, you know, the protocol on the list, they can choose. But the checker, you know, the maker checker is actually the treasury. Treasury will make the movement according to that decision made. So there's no one person or, you know, a team that can manipulate the whole process. That's also, you know, very similar operation control in the banking or financial service industry. You always try to separate the role to make sure there's no loophole for someone to, you know, take over the whole process or the fund. So that's another control we put in place and we stick to. So far, I think it works well. And that's why I say we need to do a test round, because if we're using different protocol, right, the way we move the money will be a little bit different. And also how to capture the data points precisely on a daily basis to make sure we know our, you know, revenue, our financial status, everything, because we also need to produce the financial reports on the daily basis. We are using, you know, Oracle system, so we have to capture those data points and put into the system. So that's why I think it's quite operationally heavy. But once it's scaled up, I think, you know, makes good sense for us and for our users.
Obviously, some of the more sophisticated crypto hodlers, they are aware of DeFi protocols and they might deposit, test them by themselves directly. So what is the added benefit of Capital where mm-hmm. I'm using a centralized platform to invest in decentralized projects? And I could go directly and invest on Compound or Aave or some of the other mm-hmm. DeFi projects myself, right?
Yeah, I think firstly, right, we have skill. If you're an individual, right, no, I mean, I know some are very big whale, right? Just, you know, take them out because they are exception, I would say. But if you got, you know, like thousands, 10,000, 20,000 or like 50,000, yes, you can try that for yourself, no problem at all. But you might not have the time and resources to, you know, optimize the return all the time. And also the transaction fee might be another concern you have to take into consideration, right? It might eat up your yield very easily. Considering these days, I think market is very volatile. You can see the interest rates in different pool, different protocols change all the time. I think it's easier for a professional and specialized team to deal with that for the customers. I think that's the most important thing. Another thing is that there will be always, right, or new project or protocol comes up, the DeFi project, as an individual, you don't have that much time to do the investigation, the research, you know, very, very dynamically, right? But we have people devoted themselves into that angle on a daily basis. And we also have a risk committee to make sure, you know, the new ones that sounds or are very attractive is really risk acceptable. That's the value I see that Capital or centralized platform can offer comparing to an individual doing the DeFi themselves. Yeah.
Some of the other crypto lending platforms, they often present themselves as platforms that have a lot of revenue streams. So they are not really only dependent on one stream, which in your case is DeFi, even though you're diversified over 10 projects. Do you plan for the future to increase your revenue streams as well and potentially make yield also from other investments?
Yeah, I think the concept is very transparent, right? Whenever we really create a value, we will make sure we generate revenue from that, right? So I think yield is very straightforward. Whenever we generate yield for our user, we will get a share of it. So that's clear. And I think exchange, you know, is not because our users profile, they are not like frequent traders. So we don't heavily put a lot of spirit there. It doesn't make sense, right? It won't get us too much money. And fiat, I think, should be a commodity to make sure the entry barrier, exit barrier is very low. So we don't generate revenue from there. So our next target is really to, you know, to see how Capital as a wallet can help our user to transact in the crypto world easier. So we are now actually working with other platform to have an instantaneous, you know, settlement from our wallet to their wallet and to their platform to facilitate that transaction, which is always very expensive and it's more troublesome. By connecting two platforms, like a bank connecting with another bank, you know, we target to do net settlement rather than, you know, one by one transaction on chain, expensive, slow. You know, the instantaneous settlement will give a totally new experience for the users. Another thing that a lot of crypto platforms, they are not, you know, ready for, you know, talking to the bank, open a bank account. There's a lot of, you know, burden there, right? So leave that to us. We will deal with that. And they just need to make sure, right, they comply with our requirements on the KYC ML so we can connect our users' wallet to, you know, their wallet on the other side to make things easier and cheaper. Yeah, that is going to be another revenue stream and product we're going to build and have. And I think we will have more clarity later in Q4 when we have the product launch. Now, I think the company is really focusing on building up this product with the first clients we have. And then ultimately, I think we want to make sure we, you know, build this product, you know, for more clients, right? We want to connect to more platforms to solve the problem for everyone. Yeah.
I know that Capital has quite a unique approach to compliance. I'm aware that your company is based or registered in Lithuania, which is within the EU, right? Mm-hmm. And you follow a very strict anti-money laundering regulations and laws, which not a lot of the competitors do, to be frank. So can you tell us a little bit more about the structure of the company and the legal setup that the Capital is following?
Yeah, I think our structure starts from our holding, right? So we are a Singaporean company, holding registered in Singapore. That's where we have all our investors coming in to fund this company. And we set up subsidiaries in different jurisdictions to do either registration or licensing as required locally to run our crypto exchange business, right? To run our, you know, Capital brand. And we will have, you know, other subsidiaries doing, for example, compliance operation in Malaysia, because Malaysia has a lot of banks, so it's quite easy for us to tap into the talents there. So we can use those talents to do all the compliance operational works. And that's how it goes. And we start from our Lithuania entity using the registration as a crypto exchange in Lithuania, following all the KYC AML procedure. And whenever there's a, you know, manual process coming in, our Malaysian, you know, colleagues is going to step in doing the maker checker as, you know, stated in our policy and promise to the regulators. Yeah. And I think actually we do more than that because a lot of, you know, like KYC is still coming from the fiat industry, right? But when we do crypto, we realize one important thing is crypto transfer is much more risky comparing to the others, much more risky because there's no name on it, right? There's like when I transfer fund to euro, your bank will know it's Raymond transfer to you. But in crypto case, there's no name, right? It's only address. So from day one, we, you know, work with Chainalysis. We use their database to make sure we do the screening of the address of the counterparty, either coming from or going to make sure we don't interact with the sanctioned address or the high risk address, right? I think what happened last week that US Treasury just sanctioned a platform in Russia called Swix. So we have a very standardized process. Firstly, we just, you know, take our historical data and screen against all those sanctioned addresses to make sure there wasn't any interaction we have with them directly or indirectly, meaning several hoops away, right? So we clean. And also we immediately check with Channelize whether they update those addresses in their database already. So onwards, we are protected. I think from a, you know, very traditional financial service industry background, we know this is an SOP, but I kind of feel that I'm not so sure whether the other platform, they have the same mindset, the same procedure to assure, right, they don't touch those addresses. I think, you know, US government or regulator is showing that their determination to, you know, put their power into the crypto industry. So I would expect everyone should, you know, start looking into this space and make sure they don't step on the red line. I think what we have done quite well from day one is that this is in the plan for our compliance procedure from day one. So we feel very comfortable that, you know, our business model and everything is sustainable.
Are you wondering whether it's safe to invest in P2P loans? It can be if you invest on a legitimate platform. To help you make a responsible and informed investment decision, we have created a workbook that will help you get a quick overview of the legitimacy of any platform. With this guide, you will significantly reduce the chances of investing in fraudulent platforms. Get a copy of our guidebook at buymeacoffee.com/P2PEmpire.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of the cryptonic platforms, they don't even tell the users of how they work, what kind of processes they're following, right? So they're not very transparent in this regards. They just tell you, oh, we got the highest yield and how we generate it or what's in the background. You just don't know. And you kind of need to trust them, which is not always the best course of action when it comes to protecting your deposits, right?
Yeah,
I know that Capital is mainly targeting Europeans, investors. So you are not active in the US, correct?
Not in US, only in Europe so far. Yeah.
So basically, even Australians or people from Singapore or other Asian countries cannot use that app as of right now.
No, I think they can download the app, they can use the app. It's just that we don't have the perfect experience like, you know, we offer to Europeans, because I think, you know, we definitely will look into those markets. So Singapore, Australia is actually in our on our roadmap. We are looking to have the incorporation, talking to a local bank and a payment service provider to build the local fiat channel. I think that would take a time. But if they already have some crypto and think our yield is actually very attractive, they can still download it, going through KYC and transfer the crypto in and start earning it right away. But I think for Europeans, it's easier, right? They can start from their Euro bank deposit. They don't really need to figure out how to buy the crypto first. So they can just, you know, transfer the money in and buy crypto here and earn everything here and the way around. I think, you know, that's why we are now actively promoting in the other region, because we think that the user experience is not there yet, but definitely they can still do it. If some holder think that our product is good, more than welcome. But yes, I think Australia is, you know, definitely on our roadmap, Singapore as well, since we are Singapore incorporated. Yeah, so we want to make sure, you know, whenever we want to step in, go to that market, we have a more comprehensive capability to service our user.
I noticed that Capital is offering yield on Tether, which is a stablecoin patch to a US dollar. Why Tether? And are you planning to also expand to other stablecoins as well?
Yeah, I think we start from Tether for a very obvious reason, right? It's the most liquid and popular one. I think Tether still have like 65 billion mark cap right now, and the circulation wise, you know, the turnover wise is like almost two times of the market cap on daily basis, right? Around 120, 130 billion a day. So you can see that amount is actually very big comparing to the second one is USDC. USDC is like 20 something billion, but the turnover is actually, you know, 5 billion to 10 on daily basis, much smaller. So as a new platform in the market, we have to go for the biggest option. But yes, USDC is also on the list, just to make sure, you know, some people prefer USDC, we can offer them. We are also looking into the other major coins that we see a good yield generation mechanism. So that's another necessary thing, right? On our platform, we have to provide a yield. If that coin, we cannot find a very good way to provide a yield, I think, you know, it becomes more like buy and sell. I'm not saying that we cannot do it, but we want to start from something, you know, we can provide a yield first. So we're looking for the other option as well. Yes.
More sophisticated crypto traders, they are kind of on the edge when it comes to Tether. Sometimes there has been some news reports that actually the backing of the Tether is not really as good. I think the last info I've had is that Tether is backed by a big part of corporate debt, which is well rated for now, but it could change potentially in the future. So how do you see the regulatory risk when it comes to Tether stablecoin, and how can this impact the yield?
I think that the impact won't, if anything happens on Tether, right, it won't be just yield, it will be the whole industry, I would say. Because Tether is just like the most traded cryptocurrency as a catalyst, I would say, for the whole crypto world, right? You always see the pricing pair, cryptocurrency versus USDT, because you want to make sure when you want to sell, you can store the value in a stable coin to make sure you can wait for another window to come. So that's very obvious. And you can say like this, right? It's a token in a casino, right? If you trade the whole crypto world, it's like a casino. It's a token used by casino. If anything happened to that token, I think the whole industry will have a big problem. Yeah. So I think for US government, I think they are looking at this more from the systemic risk perspective. I believe that, that's my personal view, but I believe that US government will definitely step in and make sure, right? So Tether, when they issue new coins and when they look at their assets back the issuance, there's some restriction. For example, percentage of the cash, percentage of the certain quality of US dollar assets. Right now, I think they all have the rank above rank A notes, but you never know, right? So I think if US government step in and make it very clear what's the regulation, I think it's good for the whole industry. Personally, I think it's great. But I think they also need to consider Tether as an organization running this business. They also need to make money to make sure that the whole thing is sustainable, right? So you cannot say, oh, you have to put 100% in cash. That means they won't generate any revenue from that asset, right?
Yeah.
So it has to find the right balance in terms of, the risk for the whole industry is stable enough, and also the revenue generator can sustain that company organization to going forward. I think it's actually a dialogue process that the crypto industry has been with the regulation right now. So I'm still very positive. I believe that at the end of the day, innovation is something US or the other government they want to see. It's just that they want to make sure the risk is considered.
All right, let's move on to some of the statistics for Capital.
Yeah.
Our audience, they're always keen to see some numbers, especially when it comes to crypto lending. What's important to us is financials and assets under management, perhaps. So can you share some of the data? I'm aware that Capital is quite a new platform in this space, but perhaps you can share some information with us.
Yeah, I think, I won't share the exact number for now, but I would definitely let you know the growth is actually on the very high numbers, and the users actually coming up quite well. And our majority of the user will come from our affiliates. So I think when we have more affiliates, I think I definitely believe that number will jump. We have tests with some smaller affiliate, and the result is actually quite good. The registration rates and the conversion rate is also above the expectation, meaning the conversion rate is much better than we expected. So now we're going to spend more resources in it. In terms of the AUM, right, I think I would say it's big enough for us to invest in several, 10 DeFi pools to make sure, right, we can generate upwise the revenue. I know the user is keen to know, but I think I'd rather just make sure we announce that number when we hit some internal target, maybe by the end of the year. Yeah, please look forward to it. I will definitely do that when I found that that number is impressive enough to announce.
What about the financials? I know that you guys acquired quite some capital from venture capital investment firms.
Yep.
I think the financials are not published, but your investors got a sneak peek into your reports, right?
I think firstly, our angel round is $3 million. So that's the first part. And then we just closed our seed round, $4 million. So we got $7 million to run this whole company for now. So I think it's actually quite sufficient. And also I think, we, because of the seed round investor coming in, there's also another request we have to comply, is that we have to provide the annual auditors a report to them. So we actually have an audit firm will help us to make sure all the financial report we produce, meet the certain standard, so we can offer that report to the investor. We will also do the unaudited reports on a quarterly basis to make sure we know how everything looks like as a company. And then, I think the most important thing is that we really look forward to the new revenue stream by the end of the year to start seeing how we're going to, take down the cash burn. And hopefully, I think next year we can see the break even coming.
Okay, thank you very much, Raymond. For the listeners of this podcast or viewers on our YouTube channel, if you want to give Capital a try, you can sign up with the link in the description below. As a new user, you will get a 20 USDT bonus when you sign up and invest money or deposit money on Capital. If you want to get notified about the latest news surrounding this platform, head over to p2pempower.com. Raymond, thank you so much for talking to me, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, thank you, everyone. Take care.